welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again, everybody, to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 21 for November 5th, 2013. I'm your host, Jack, and I'll be helping you to guide your way through your network chaos and that stuff that we love to deal with each and every day. You know, the servers, the networks, the switches, and the hubs. Hubs? Did he say hubs? Hey, please check out my website if you got a minute at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Where you can comment on these shows, and I wish you would. We're not getting a lot of feedback from these shows, so I wish you'd comment on these shows. I would greatly appreciate that. Also, you can leave me a voicemail at 724-701-0911, or simply drop me an email at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, and that is at technoman. Please sign up for the mailings and the blog posts at jackstechcorner.com. You want to check out that website also, and for some latest and greatest. We're trying to give that site a little bit of a rebirth and bring you some more tips there also. So tonight, I thought I would try to put this more into emphasis for you of redundant array of independent disks, or RAID. And I know RAID sounds like a really big word, and a lot of people think RAID, and when we talk about RAID, they say, oh, you mean that bug killer that you spray on bees and such. Nah, that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about a redundant array of independent disks. So now, what does redundancy mean? Well, if you look up redundancy on Wikipedia, I'm sure you're going to find that it means a group of something that's redundant to each other. That is key into our success in life in the server business. And why do we want that? Why are we worried about redundancy? Well, we're worried about redundancy for one thing. We're worried about redundancy to make sure that we, as a group of network specialists out there, or that systems techie that you kind of got thrown into it, we call them the accidental techie, and you want to make sure that your data is always safe. Not so much the applications, but you know, the data, the back end, the SQL stuff that we have to worry about, the either MySQL or Microsoft SQL, we want to worry about that particular data. We want to make sure we can put that across multiple hard drives, so if we have failure in any one hard drive, we can replace that hard drive and the data will keep on chirping away and it will write itself back across that drive, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, because it happened to us on our network and I had to deal with that, and it's not at all what I expected, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. Let's go through these. We're going to go through these one at a time so we kind of understand these things. There is actually six of them that we're going to be talking about, and that is RAID 0 through RAID 6 is what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I'm going to try to help you out a little bit and teach you about each one of these. Now, if you don't get it right away, that's okay. Don't worry about it. There's a lot of good resources on the internet where you can type in RAID or redundant disk array, and you will find a ton of information on this subject. So if you get lost a little bit and you say, I don't really know what Jack was talking about, that's okay. Because, you know, you're probably not going to use all these. And in studying these for tonight's show, I found that we actually have not used all of them. We've used a couple of them, and I'm sure you will, but not all of them. So we're going to get started here because we have a really big list to go through tonight. And then I'm going to walk you through an actual story from our network, what happened to us, and how we had to use the RAID, and how it actually worked for us. And I'm going to tell you about that in just a little bit here. Okay, folks, we're going to start out, first of all, with RAID 0. Now, RAID 0 is all about performance. It employs what is called striping. And striping is basically where data is broken into fragments, and it's written across multiple drives. So already you see how the redundancy is working. You have multiple drives. Now, when you set a RAID system up, you're going to need a RAID controller in your server, which most servers are going to come kind of prepackaged with it, so you don't really have to, you know, dig around or worry too much about that. If not, you can buy a RAID card. You can buy a RAID SCSI card and put it in your server. We've done that in the past. What I can tell you is all the hard drives have to be of equal size. So if you have a 1 terabyte drive to start, the fourth or fifth drive down the line, they should all be 1 terabyte drives or more, depending on how much data you're working with. Now, we're talking about writing it across multiple drives, and it's sort of treating them as one giant drive. So it's looking when your server, we actually install our virtual servers this way also, on a redundant set of RAID systems or RAID drives. Because what happens is we lose that single point of failure. And that's what I'm going for when I set my networks up. So let's basically assume that you have 4 hard disks. Now, the performance comes from the fact that you're getting a massive amount of throughput across those drives. It's like going basically down a road. If you're going through it, let's say you're going through a bridge, a covered bridge, and there's one lane. Let's say you open them up to 4 lanes, okay, because we have 4 drives. You're going to be getting much more read-write access because you have all those drives working together. Now, as I said, it'll handle massive files. Like, for instance, video editing. If you're doing video editing and if you have a RAID 0, it's going to be a much greater performance boost, and you're going to see that as the video is being crunched down to HD video or whatever else you're talking about. But every single file could be actually an incomplete file because it's striped across all those. It's broken down across all those drives. Now, there's not really much redundancy going on with a RAID 0 because, you need at least 2 disks for this. But remember, there's not a lot of redundancy through the RAID 0. Now, let's go on to RAID number 1. In this configuration, most novices should learn about it writes or mirrors the data to multiple disks. Now we start looking at this redundancy, this whole thing going on about mirroring. And I'm sure you know about mirroring already if you're in this business and you understand mirroring across drives and what that actually means for you. Now, basically what's going to happen is you're going to have an independent disk controller or a host adapter for the disk, and the performance can be kind of crummy at times because you're writing to the disks simultaneously. So RAID 0, it's breaking the data down over the drives, right? But RAID 1, it's writing to all of those drives simultaneously because you're mirroring across those drives. So remember, if you buy a lot of people mistake this, and this is a big mistake. We talked about those multiple drives being the same size. If you buy 2 2-terabyte disks, then you're going to have 2 terabytes of storage. So it will get a little bit costly pretty fast, but you have the mirroring, you have the redundancy that we are starting to look for in these configurations. It's very, very critical. So if you're going to spend money, there can't be money better spent than to get this mirroring effect with RAID 1, which we use a lot in our network as RAID 1. RAID 2. RAID 2 will stripe your data like RAID 0, but at a smaller level. It does bits instead of blocks, and it uses additional hard drive space, and that is called Hamming code. Now, for error protection and parity, which allows you to recover corrupt data. So basically, nobody's even using RAID 2 anymore. That's why you don't hear about it, because it basically requires so many, a large amount of disks to do this. So nobody is really using RAID 2 anymore. Let's talk now about RAID 3. Now, RAID 3 stripes your data across multiple drives as well. It does it at the byte level, and it has a single disk dedicated to data parity or error correction. Now, because it's byte level and it's split, all the drives work together simultaneously as one unit. which means it can only do one read and one write operation at a time. So this again is pretty rare to see, and it's very good for high transfer rate. Again, like HD video, and it also has a measure of security that you don't get with RAID 0. And this is because you can lose one disk and it can still be okay. It can still function. And you need at least 3 disks for this actual setup for your RAID 3. So that is RAID 3. Let's talk now a little bit about RAID 4. RAID 4 is a striping parity disk. Now, it writes in large block levels, so the disk can be more independent. You can have multiple read operations and different things going on at one time. So a RAID 4 in a large network, such as a file server, where you have multiple users in there reading and writing their files at different times, at different points in the day, this can also be very, very clean and a great way to set up your disks. Now, since it's only using single disk for parity, it can be written to every time you write data. So you can still have one write operation going on at a time. But the magic is having a number of disks. So RAID 4 is not one of my favorite drive arrays either. And that is basically because, if you look at that, RAID 4 is just not a great way to go. I'm just trying to write down some times here on this thing here. Okay. So RAID 4 is not the best way to go because, as I said, it has a single write operation going on at one time. Now, as we talked about, when you have that large group of people getting in there and they're reading and writing their files and reading and writing their files, such as a file server, you may not, in fact, want to use RAID 4. You probably want to go to my favorite, the one I use probably the most in our network, is RAID 5. RAID 5 is more of a NAS, or a network attached storage box, in action. And you're rolling it out with RAID 1, and it tries to offer the best of the RAID worlds, performance and redundancy. And it combines this by using the various configurations of the different RAID sets. It stripes the data across multiple hard drives, but instead of just dumping parity data onto a single drive, it spreads it across multiple hard drives. Meaning, now this is a big one, it means there's no bottleneck on your server. Now, we all know about bottlenecks, and a lot of people say, oh, that server and everything is running fine, it's running smooth. The data seems to be going kind of slow. We've had this problem in our network in the past where we have a worker opens a Word document. They say, my Word documents have been very slow to open today. And a lot of people will go to the switch and say, well, there must be something wrong with the switch. So they start doing ping commands, and it's pinging fine. It's not there. It's on their back-end server. And it's probably because they don't have the proper RAID configuration set up to allow for big time multiple read writes. This is where RAID 5 comes in absolutely positively handy. RAID 5 is amazing. Now, as I said, there's no bottleneck. And it writes the data very, very quickly. And in this configuration, you can lose one hard drive and again be okay, since that driver's parity data is written across different disks. Now remember, there is failure that you could have over the next year with the hard drives increasing in size and the system expands. But 3 disks will get you started. So 3 drives, you can start this RAID 5 array and be absolutely fine. Now we're going to dump into RAID 6. Now, RAID 6 is like RAID 5, but it uses 2 disks for parity and correction, which are set up so that there's one of the drive bombs out during data recovery. The system keeps chugging along. Obviously, you need more disks for RAID 5, or you need more disks than RAID 5, but you're also going to be using it, and you're going to use a minimum of 4. So remember, RAID 5 uses 3. RAID 6 would use 4 because you're writing that parity bits across 2 different disks. So it's very easy to remember that. And I know that this is a lot of information to kind of bite down on there in one podcast. And sometimes I wish at this point I would have the videos to kind of show you the different setups. Now, some time ago, we bought a Sun server. And the Sun server uses 12 SAS drives. Now, a SAS drive is a very, very fast drive. It is remarkably fast. And when we bought them, it was kind of the first time it was out, was a SAS drive. And ours were running at, I believe, 22,000 RPM. And it's really an amazing drive. And if you look at the SAS drive, it's a small computer system interface. Okay, it's a SCSI drive. The SAS drive is kind of backwards compatible with that, but it just seems to be running at a much higher rate than what we ever can get out of our SCSI drives. And I don't know if that was really the engineering or the architecture of the way those are built, but there's 12 of them, and they are set up in a RAID 5 configuration. Now, what I want to tell you about, I told you earlier, I have kind of a story from the trenches for you, is that particular box, we had one of our drives actually die on us. It just took a turn for the worst. It came up as an amber light. We knew it was dead. Everything was still running fine. The networks were running. All of our virtual servers on there were still running absolutely fine. The data was still chugging along and moving out to our users, so we had no issues there. The issue we had was we had a bad drive. So I knew that we had to replace it. So at that time, we called Sun, which is now purchased by Oracle. If you didn't know that, that's because when I called for service, that's now who I talked to. So the server itself was powered by Sun. So I called them, and they said, well, no problem at all. We'll send you out a new drive. No problem. So they sent me out the new drive. I pull out the hot swappable bay, because those are just clips. You pull that hot swappable bay out. We unscrewed the mounts. We dropped it. We put the new drive in, the new SAS drive. We slid it in. We locked it, and it was still amber. I said, now, wait a minute. Why would that be an amber light on there? Well, it turns out that the amber light is telling me that the data is being rebuilt or restriped or reprioritized across those drives and getting rebuilt for itself. Now, I thought, in my ultimate wisdom, that this would be very, very quick. But I found out that's not the case. So think about this, folks. If you have 2 terabytes of data, and let's say you're even using 1 terabyte of that across all those drives, 1 terabyte of data has to be rebuilt across that, but it's rebuilding it as pieces, as bytes. And as those bytes are building back, knowing what to go back to that drive, from that master saying, hey, this is what you need to send over there, then what you're going to come up with is basically just that, a very, very lengthy time to bring that disk back up into operation. So we watched it the first day. It still stayed amber. We watched it the second day. It was still very much an amber light. And by the third day, by midday, we were walking by and we noticed that the light was green. At that point, we knew that that array was built and the RAID 5 did its job and it brought that disk back to life. So that's one of my little stories from the trenches. The other story I have for you, if you buy a NAS, a network attached storage device, if you're going out and you're shopping around for one, look for one that has multiple drive bays in it. And there's a few of those out there. Western Digital makes them. Also, some of the other companies that actually make these things is StarTech has a 4-bay external hard drive. G-Tech, Promise. Let's see here. I'm just going through some of these I found on the internet. Buffalo, and Buffalo's been around a long time. Now, a lot of these, pay attention to it when you're buying these things because most of these are actually the storage units. They do not come with the drives themselves, so you have to buy the drives separate. And there's another one called Hard Drive Array RAID Tower. So, and most of these units, if you're not buying a server and you just want strictly a box to put your drives in, that's fine because the controller's in there and then you have a unit. Now, I tend to enjoy and I like rack mountable stuff because I like it to be in my server rack. But honestly, whatever you can get by with is probably pretty good and it's going to work out pretty well for you. You may want to call one of your suppliers out there, one of your dealers, whoever that may be, and see what they are. And we did buy a Lacy, is what we purchased. And we use that Lacy, basically. We don't use it for a whole lot of storage. We're using it now for a backup. So we have a backup going with certain folks on the network with their files, you know, their documents and whatever. And we have a program, and we talked about on this show a while ago, I think under backup, called Coben Backup. But what it does is you set up, and it copies everything to a network storage unit. So that's why we purchased that. And we also keep all of our usable and workable IT files on there, all of our IT tools and everything else that we tend to use is what we want to keep on there. And it works out very, very well for us. So that is basically the RAID systems. That's how the RAID works. My favorites that we tend to use in our network more than any other is RAID 1. And my ultimate favorite is RAID 5. I don't mess with the other ones. I've been using RAID 1 and RAID 5 for as long as I can remember, and they work extremely well, and we always know we have that redundancy with 5. So, but if you're looking for speed, if you're looking for overall performance and a big performance boost, you may want to go with RAID 0 with that striping across the other drives and not having those overall bottlenecks. But remember, you don't have the mirroring that you have, so you're going to have to mirror those somewhere else. Folks, I have a question for you out there. I'd like to hear from you. If you're using VMware, if you're using any VMware out there and you're using ESXi, I would like to know from you, for my own knowledge, is how do you back up those virtual drives, those virtual machines? We have a system now. We're using Barracuda Backup, but it's pretty pricey for us to back up those actual virtual machines. So, and I know a lot of people out there are shy and don't like to call shows, but I've been around. This is show number 21. Most of you have been listening since show number one, and I appreciate that. I really do, and I enjoy you tuning in. But I'd like to get the feedback from everybody out there. How are you backing those up? Are you doing it manually? It seems like that would take a long time. Is there a quick way to back them up? Is there a quick way to pull them from the physical box they're on and back them up onto some kind of an array or another place of storage where we might be able to put those? I really need that answer. I'm looking for that. I'm asking you, the community out there, because I know a lot of you out there are great network administrators that are probably doing this on a daily basis. And you can say, hey, Jack, we can help you. And I would like to hear from you. Drop me an email at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. Or just send me a voicemail. Maybe I'll put it on the next show. I'd even appreciate that. You can call this number on a cell phone if you want. 724-701-0911. I'd like to get your feedback on that. Well, folks, thank you so much for joining me here. Thanks for downloading the shows. Thanks for subscribing them. Thanks for the few of you that I see signed up for the mailing list on tipsfromtheserverroom.com. I appreciate you being there. And I hope that you continue to sign up on there for the mailing list. We're going to be starting some white papers and stuff on there. We'll be handing those out to you if you're on that mailing list. And it's a great way to communicate with you. And it's a great way to be notified. If I put any blog posts up or when these shows go live even, you'll be notified that they're up there and alive. Or subscribe to it on iTunes. That's another great way to pull it down. And I'm glad that you're subscribing there. I wish that you would comment, though, if you're on iTunes one day. Go over and give the show a little rating, kick it up in the ratings there a little bit, and maybe just type a little comment in there, you know, if you're enjoying the show. Throw something in there. I would really, really appreciate that. And hey, let me kick this out to you because, you know, we have to get a little ad in there for you. If you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, or if you want to learn it from installing to being the administrator, or Windows Server 2012 R2, that is now up, or VMware ESXi 5.1 server, please sign up for one of my online classes. And all you have to do is go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com or jackstechcorner.com and look at the top. There's a link up there for online courses or online classes. Click on that. These classes are very much self-paced. Take as long as you wish. All it is, you watch a video, then you take a short quiz. Once you complete the course, I will mail you a certificate in the mail. So they're on very nice paper, very suitable for framing or sending them out with your resume. A lot of folks have emailed me and said, Jack, we sent this for a resume, and we think it got us the job because they're going for a server administrator, and they have this, that they completed this course, and they're actually moving up in their career. And that's what I built the courses for. Each course is very low cost, but it's very high impact. I've had people call and say, Jack, why don't you charge $1,000 for these courses? And I said, because they're not built for that. They're built for people to be able to afford them. And I want you to be able to get into these courses and take these courses and complete them. That's what I built these courses for. We've had people take the 2008 R2, and then they go right into the 2012, and then they sign up for the VMware. So that's great. They've taken all three of my courses. We're also looking at building a hardware course. I've been putting this through the paces and typing up some ideas I have to build a hardware course. So that may be coming down the road. Once again, sign up today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com on the online classes. Folks, if it's possible at all, have a great work week. I will be back here next Tuesday with another show for you. I've been thinking about taking these shows live. Maybe I'll get your responses on that. If you say, hey, I'd like to sit down on a 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night, Eastern Standard Time, and maybe be in the chat room and ask questions live and have some feedback. If you would, just send that in to me too. Comment and show and say, hey, that sounds like a nice idea. We'll see what kind of feedback we get. If not, we'll just leave it a podcast. I don't mind doing podcasts. I've been doing podcasting since 2005, and I enjoy it. I don't mind spreading the word out there and giving you some information. So, hey, if you don't have a setup, set up your redundant array of independent disks, your RAID, today, so you can protect your network for years to come. All right, everybody, take care, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday on Tips from the Server Room. So long. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.